Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about wisdom. And I think a good working definition for wisdom is knowing what to do, right? Having an idea of the right thing to do. And I think that's just like a partial definition. This is a big concept. Let's pray. Let's take a minute. Let's regroup. Let's pray. God, we thank you for a space to think together. Help us to do that well. Help us to do that well together. Help us to do that in conversation with you, with Scripture, with one another. We definitely need your help. And we're asking for that. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody remember the show, What Would You Do? Oh, good. No one? Excellent. Yay. Okay, good. I love it when you choose an illustration that no one can relate to. It's like anytime somebody starts talking about Star Wars, I'm like, bah, bah, bah. Like, it just does not compute for me. But I know for some people, that's like the only illustration you ever need to explain anything ever in the universe. So, yeah. Anyway, dig. All right. What Would You Do is a show where they place hidden cameras in public settings. Vaguely. Yeah. Did you know there's 15 seasons of this thing? It's been around for 15 years. This was primetime television on ABC. Still is. Yep. So they hide hidden cameras, because that's what you do with something's hidden. You hide it. They put hidden cameras in public spaces, and then they send actors into these spaces that create a scene, a dilemma, a problem. And they watch how the people who are not actors, who don't know that there are hidden cameras, they watch how these people respond. So, like, for example, you've got a barista on one side of the counter, nice, kind young lady, and you've got a man on the other side of the counter who's being really rude and demanding and demeaning to this woman. And you watch how the people respond to the situation, right? And then they go and they interview the people, like, why'd you do that? Or why'd you not do anything, you know? They ask them, why did you make the choices that you made? And then they change the scenario. They put a man behind the counter and a woman as the customer. And they see how people, do you respond any differently if you change up the scenario? So 15 seasons of this they were able to do because we can imagine so many dilemmas, right? They're limitless, these kinds of interactions where you're like, I don't know, what would you do, right? I hate this show. And the reason is because I have enough of these things in my regular day life. It is not entertaining for me to watch people struggle to figure out what to do or to be frustrated with them if I think that they're not doing it right or they take a path that I'm like, didn't see that coming. You know, I don't want to have to think about these things any more than I have to, right? 15 seasons. Still going. I think they took a break during the pandemic because these like social settings weren't available to them. Thank God for the break. So our lives are full. The point is, our lives are full of opportunities to decide, what should I do? Yeah. Right? Every moment. How do I make decisions? What decisions are even on the table? Wouldn't it be nice to have some resource for difficult decision making? Wouldn't it be nice to have something written down that could help us understand the way the world generally works? Wouldn't it be nice to have some collected wisdom somewhere from generations of human experience that we could draw upon? Man, it'd be so great to ask, how do I make life work and find an answer? How do I successfully navigate my one life? There are infinite resources. I get embarrassed if I ever have to venture over into the self-help section of the library or the bookstore because I'm like, I don't want people to think that I need this, first of all. And second of all, there's just, who do you trust? How do you know so many options, so many possibilities, so many places to look for how to successfully navigate my one life. Parenting, marriage, name some other
career.
How to choose potato chips. They've got that nutrition information on the bag, and you can compare them back and forth, and you're like, I don't know, I can get one more chip over here, but it's got a little more sodium. Can I handle it? I don't know. Everything under the sun. So how do we even define what wisdom is? Because what we're really looking for here is wisdom, right? And it's not just knowing what to do. It's understanding and doing the good and the right thing. There's an action component. So in Scripture, we have this collection of books that we called wisdom literature. Anybody know? There are three books. Anybody know what they are? Can you guess one of them? That's part of the poster. Proverbs. We read from each of them. Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes. Like, if you're paying attention at all to Joey. Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes. And each of these books is working in conversation with the other. Any one by itself is incomplete. But in them, we find this word, chokmah. You want to say it? Chokmah. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's actually how you say it, but I got you to say it that way. Chokmah. It's a Hebrew word that's kind of this enigmatic, can't quite put your finger on exactly how to define it. We translate that word wisdom, but chokmah is sort of this universal thread that runs throughout our whole world. In Proverbs chapter 8, chokmah is what God used to architect everything. God used wisdom to build the world in which you live. And so the thought is that there's sort of we are living in a moral universe. There is a pattern and a predictability and a way to go about this life that anyone can find. Job is a good example of this. Job wasn't even an Israelite, and Job was somehow finding a way here to interact with wisdom. So let me just give you an example. We together have our collective wisdom, right? Did you know that? We have our collected sayings, whether you realize it or not. Let's just try a few of these. You win some, you... Oh, okay. Better safe than...
Sorry.
Blood is thicker than...
Water.
Don't count your chickens. Don't put all your eggs. You guys are good. Look at all the things you know. The early bird...
Is the worm.
Birds of a feather...
Together.
Two wrongs don't...
Why
even go? We all got it right here. Where there's smoke, there's
fire.
If it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Practice makes
stop.
Actions speak louder.
Words.
Beauty is in the eye. Don't judge a book. No use crying over. Strike while the iron. How many of you answered all of them? Okay, these are the people you need to go to if you have questions about life. They know all the things. And for those of you who didn't know some of them, that's how collected wisdom works, right? We can hear other people have some of these answers. The point is that there some of this stuff we learn through experience. I don't even know where I picked that stuff up. Where did I even get those? Where did you even get that stuff? But you knew all of it. Now the question is, if we were to go down through all of those, what do those even mean? Blood's thicker than water. That's right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's right. I got to tell you, I'm working a little part-time job over at Lowe's right now, and they're rearranging the whole back of house. Why? I don't know. Because it all works just fine. They're like, we're going to fix it, though. Make it better. The point is that wisdom is floating out there for the taking. It is available to you. The answers to these questions, like, what do I do? How do I know what's right? What's my next move? Can you find the answer to that? Could Scripture at all be involved in that? Wisdom is an attribute of God that you have access to. We're going to spend the next handful of weeks defining chokmah and allowing Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job to inform our understanding of it. So this English version, this English translation of wisdom is more like a head knowledge, right? But in Scripture, the word chokmah is used by both Solomon and whoever wrote the book of Exodus. So like in Exodus 31, when they're deciding how they're going to build the tabernacle, the instruction that they're given is find an artisan who has chokmah, who not only knows how to do the thing, but can actually perform it well. Solomon uses the word in a similar way. He talks about craftsmen, builders, artisans. They have chokmah. They have wisdom, not just in what they know, but how they do. In Proverbs, it's not just about like knowing the right next step as though like, let me just tell you what Proverbs says. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so somehow wisdom gets tied in, not just with this like bank of information, but somehow it's interacting with God's ideas of what is good or evil, right or wrong, even if that information is inconvenient for me. So this fear of the Lord is more of like a humility before God and what God says about the matter. Right? So I told you before that there's wisdom literature, and it's these three books. What are they again? That's it. You guys got it. Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes. And I want you to picture them as like three guys walking into a bar. Except this time, one is an elegant lady with some pep in her step. She's idealistic. And the next is a middle-aged cynic with a furrow in his brow. And the last is an old man with twinkling eyes and a noticeable limp. The first is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is who we meet in Proverbs. She's the one who's like, early bird catches the worm. Practice makes perfect. She's always got the right thing to say. And she sees the world as operating under patterns and probabilities. She's like, if you're good, good things gonna happen. If you're bad, bad things gonna happen. Doesn't always work out that way, says Senior Cynic. That's right. He walks in and he's like, yeah, but. That's Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes represents all of the material for our actual lives, right? He's lived a little bit. He's seen a few things. He knows that it doesn't always work out right. And he uses one word over and over and over again. Senior Cynic in Ecclesiastes. What word does he use? Meaningless. 38 times in 12 chapters. So he takes what Proverbs said. Like if you go back and you read what Joey did here, he read this. Joey, do you have it right there? The scripture? Read the one from Proverbs. Okay, so if you're righteous, you shine bright. If you're wicked, you're snuffed out, right? And we would love to believe that that is the pattern that always works. Predictable, that's justice, right? Predictable pattern. Read the Ecclesiastes one for me. Listen for the nuance here from Senior Cynic, okay?
The one that says, like, the
faith
of the
faith
enough.
Yeah.
better than folly. The light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize it was the same thing.
He's like, yeah, it may be true, but everybody dies in the end. Oh my gosh. That is dark, right? So if you really, if you divide up Ecclesiastes, it falls into these two halves where he's talking about time and death. Time is going to get you. Death is going to get you. And so because of that, it's all hevel, which is the word meaningless, that we translate meaningless. But really, it's more like vapor or smoke, like something that you try to grab onto. It looks solid, but then it's not there. There's an enigma to it. And then you've got old man, twinkle in his eye and a noticeable limp. I call him Mr. School of Hard Knocks, or Mr. Been There, Done That, Seen Everything. I don't know. I tried to find a single word. I could not find a single. He's a veteran. He has seen it, right? And he's watching these two young bucks fight it out. The idealistic woman who's like, there is a way here. There is a pattern and a probability here. And the other guy who says, yeah, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And because of that, it's hevel. It's absurd. Can't make sense of any of it. And then you've got this last guy, Job, who's represented by Job, who experiences all of it. He's no longer naive. And he's like, you're both right. But there's still an invitation that Job provides to trust God's wisdom. We need all three of these people at the table in the conversation about how do I know what's good and right? How do I live well in the world that God made? How do I understand the world that God made? We can't just be like naming it and claiming it and moving right. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That doesn't work all the time. Right? So we have to have Ecclesiastes in the picture to balance out. It's scripture fighting against scripture, casting doubt on itself. Right? What these three teachers are explaining to us is that life is complex. And to understand and gain knowledge and wisdom, we need all of them at the table teaching us together. Right? What I'm here to tell you today is that wisdom is accessible to you. And that these are things that we think through and sort out together. I'm not going to belabor it. I have nothing left to say. I mean, somehow I have 3 pages of notes and I've already gone through all of it. So I don't know what happened, but thanks. It's good. Yeah, we don't need more, right? We're good? Okay, there's plenty to think about. What I would encourage you to do is, would you please try to come back the next 3 Sundays in a row? Could you do it? Can you try? Let me tell you why. Because this that we just did is just the tip of the iceberg, right? This is just the introductory material. And if you just come to hear Proverbs, you're going to be misled. If you just come to hear Ecclesiastes, you're going to be misled. If you just come to hear Job, you're only hearing a portion of the conversation, and you need to hear all of it, right? So please come back the next 3 Sundays in a row. I'm going to try to, you know, work through this with you and see what we can come to together. If you want to prepare yourself, read the book of Proverbs. It's 31 chapters. Let me just give you a brief outline of what it is so that when you approach it, it's not like blah, 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 words, none of it's making any sense to me. So the first 10 chapters are a father talking to his son, which reminds me that all of this wisdom literature is different than the rest of scripture. So up until this point, we've been hearing a story about this people group, and we've had two different kinds of information coming at us. One is called law. Thou shalt not. This is what Moses does. And the other is called prophecy. Thus says the Lord. Right? These are words coming from God. The wisdom literature is, here's what humans have learned together in their life experience. So to demonstrate that, the first 10 chapters of Proverbs are a father talking to his son. Right? And then the next big chunk of Proverbs is, early bird catches the worm. you win some, you lose some, and they're all just like boom, 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 boom. And but you read them and you're like, these are pretty accurate, actually. You know, violence begets violence and stuff like that. Right? And you're like, this is ancient, helpful information. And some of it will be sounding ancient too. You know, you're like, I don't get that one, and that's fine. Just move right along, right? And then the book wraps up with these two guys, Agur and Lemuel. Agur is sort of this is in chapter 30. He's the guy who is like the model reader of Proverbs. He's the one who comes to the table and says, well, I don't know anything. I'm ready to learn. Right? And then Proverbs 31 is about what a son learned from his mom about wisdom specifically. And then the picture of wisdom in action, which is this woman. What do we call her? Virtuous woman. Yeah. The Lady Chochma. It rolls off the tongue. So over the next week, just chip away at Proverbs. It's not hard. You'll be surprised at how enjoyable it is. And then this next Sunday, we're going to talk through how to understand it better. Did I leave that again? Anything interesting that you remember me saying that? Okay. So together these books create a sophisticated account of what life is really like. Not oversimplified, not naive. Right. And we're going to think through that stuff together. All right? Let's pray. Jordan, Laura Lee.